From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. It's a fair bet that most of the Apple wordplays have already been used, but someone said to me the other day that you can't spell the company's name without app. As Apple gets ready for an earnings report tomorrow, Macquarie's Ben Schachter says the company's app ecosystem is still a moneymaker.
They're essentially providing a service to allow third parties to sell software to others, and that's a very profitable business for them.
Schachter says Apple continues to be in a spot that is tricky for investors. You have to balance the long-term ideas of the company with the slowdown in sales of its all-important hardware.
The interesting thing for Apple right now is that there's a lot of potential over the longer term for cars and for VR and for some of the other things that may be coming. But right now, really, it's about iPhone. And can they continue to grow iPhone in the way that they used to be able to?
We'll see how Apple does. The company reports after the bell tomorrow. While we're talking public tech companies, the first tech company to have an IPO in 2016 hit the NASDAQ on Friday. One might say we're in a thin season for initial public offerings. Many in the tech world are anticipating more mergers and acquisitions this year as capital becomes a little more scarce and investors a little more jumpy. And SecureWorks, the cybersecurity company spun off of Dell, got a taste of that when it hit the market. The company takes what it calls a holistic approach to security. SecureWorks tries to be a kind of one-stop shop that offers customers a bunch of different security products that come from all over the place. Mike Cody is CEO of SecureWorks. Mike, let's talk about the IPO. When your stock priced, you sold 8 million instead of 9 million shares. Price was 14 instead of 15.50. Cause for concern?
So we actually have focused from a long-term perspective on where we're looking to drive the company. 2 years ago, Michael Dell and I had the conversations about where the market is going. And we did that with a long-term vision over the next, say, 5+ years. So we're not looking or we're not going to manage the business from a quarter-to-quarter perspective and not looking at the current movements within the stock market.
Do you guys have a margins challenge right now? I understand the company is losing money, which is not usually an issue when you're in growth mode, right? But are you earning more money as you're growing?
So one of the benefits that we've had over the last 2 years, we had the good fortune of Michael looking to give us capital and basically say, Michael Dell telling me to invest in building infrastructure around the globe. So we were looking to put ourselves in a position where we invested, quite frankly, ahead of where the market is and what we're looking to do.
Sure. And you've got a long-term perspective. I'm getting that picture.
I've been doing this for 14 years.
But it's interesting to me because, you know, Dell is a company that to a certain degree suffered some of the things that happen when a company is public and comes under that pressure from investors to make more money now.
We may come under that pressure as a public company. I guess the question is whether we respond to it, right? Our view is, and we were pretty consistent in what we've said, we're looking to drive this company from a long-term perspective to be a dominant player, providing our solutions, right? Intelligence-driven solutions to our clients. And quite frankly, to date, we've historically grown at, I gave you the market growth rates, at sort of 12 to 15%. Last year, we grew at 25%. The year prior was 27%. We're a client-centric, focused organization, and my belief is you do the right thing over the long haul, everything will take care of itself.
Michael Cody is CEO of SecureWorks. Michael, thank you for talking with me.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
When we learned last week that Prince had passed away at the age of 57, it seemed as if everyone on the internet went searching for his music on the internet all at the same time. I'm partial to his live show at Capitol Theater in 1982. Found that on YouTube. For many people, though, the catalog of the artist formerly known as was hard to find. That includes Marketplace senior tech correspondent Molly Wood, who has been looking at Prince's notoriously protected legacy in the digital space. Hi, Molly. Prince's relationship with the internet was interesting, wasn't it?
You know, it's really interesting because Prince was really a pioneer in terms of music ownership and artists having control over their ownership. He actually formed his own record group to control his music library when he was able to purchase it back from Warner. And that music group was, with his direction, relentless about tracking down copyright violations online. I mean, there is a very famous lawsuit involving a YouTube video of a baby dancing to Let's Go Crazy.
Part of the reason that he changed his name to a symbol was also related to his sort of feelings on this topic.
It was related to a dispute over branding with Warner, because at that time they owned his catalog and asserted that they owned his brand. So yeah, once he got control of both his brand and his music catalog, he protected it so fiercely that it was at times a barrier for his fans.
So let's talk about that. Tell me about Tidal.
So Tidal is, unlike Spotify or Pandora, a music streaming service that only has a subscription app. You can only use it if you pay, and it's $9.99 a month. I think it's a little less if you pay 6 months upfront. You can sign up for a 30-day free trial. If you went to the Tidal website or the app anytime in the last few days, it has been devoted to Prince and that streaming catalog. And they're really clearly touting the fact that they're the only place where you can stream his catalog now. I emailed Tidal to find out if they had seen a bump in usage, and they did not get back to me immediately. I put out sort of a very informal Twitter poll to find out if people were signing up for Tidal. This is a service that's been, it's had a slow start.
It's had its problems.
And I got to tell you, I got crickets. I would suspect what most people are doing is going to iTunes and buying it.
Molly Wood, Marketplace's senior tech correspondent. Molly, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Ben.
If you're still listening to his music this week, as we are, that live concert video is at facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.